Good morning and welcome to the second hour of Focus 580 for this Thursday morning. I'm Jay Pierce and I'll be sitting in for the next hour with you, taking your telephone calls, what we call Talk to the Manager. And I am the station manager of WILL AM and FM radio and the program director of WILL AM 580, the station that you're listening to. If you have any questions or comments about our programming, if you have any suggestions, we'd be glad to take them at 333-9455. That's our local call-in number, 333-9455, or 800-222-9455 if it's long distance for you. 800-222-9455. We try to do these programs on a fairly regular schedule, at least quarterly, between Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine to give you an opportunity to share what you're thinking and answer any questions you might have about our operation here. And that can cover WILL AM, FM, or our online service to the extent that I might have that information. Or I can get a question about WILL TV to the proper folks that may be able to respond to you. But the point of it is to have a discussion about the radio station that's here to serve you. So I have, basically, a blank legal pad in front of me, and I'm ready to go and field your questions or comments and answer to the best of my knowledge. And if I can't get an answer on the air today, I'll try to follow up with you some other way. And if we don't get a lot of calls, I do have some things I can talk about, but I'd rather it be an open forum for you to set the agenda. So with that in mind, let's go right to the telephone, shall we? And we do have a caller from Champaign on line one.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Our household received a letter from the Arbitron people to ask if we would keep a diary for a week of what radio stations we listen to. And that's very easy because we only listen to WILL, AM, FM, WEFT, and Radio Free Urbana. So we don't have, we don't usually pay attention to anything else. And so, you know, we're dutifully, you know, filling out our diary. What does the Arbitron people, what do the Arbitron people make of this diary that we'll be sending in next Thursday?
That's a very good question. What they do is they take the hundreds of responses that they'll get from a market, and in our case, the what they call the metropolitan markets, the metro market is Champaign County, and then there's what they call the total survey area, and that is Champaign and the counties immediately surrounding it, basically. And they then interpret the responses that you give and that the hundreds of others will give, and that becomes what we call our audience measurement numbers or ratings that you might have heard of. And what it gives us is an indication of how many people are listening and when and how people use our radio service. And it also lets us know when people aren't listening to our radio station, what radio station are they listening to? So it provides me as a program director with extremely valuable information about who's out there and how you're all using the service. And that's what it is, basically. So when you hear people talk about ratings, a certain radio station is number one, that's where it comes from. It comes from that information. So it's extremely important that you do take the time to fill that out, because the more people who do, the more accurate the information will be.
Okay. Well, we have six radios and one TV set, so that tells you how much radio we listen to.
Big consumers.
Yes.
Good.
And I'd also like to ask if there's any way that the on WILL-FM, which is also under your interest as well. I love to listen to WILL-FM, but I find that the people who are doing the announcing, that somehow their microphones are softer than the actual music. So I'm always having to stop, walk over, turn up so I can hear what the announcer is saying before I actually listen to the music, which I will dial down on. And I just wonder if their microphones can be turned up, especially when I'm driving in a car, and I guess we have a noisy old car, and it's hard to hear the announcers who give such wonderful information, and I always like to hear their comments.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will bring that to the attention of the FM staff, and we'll make sure that they're getting the volume level up on the control board, which they run when they do the programs. And if there's something else that's happening that's causing this, we'll look into that, too. I appreciate you bringing it to our attention.
Hey, well, thank you, and I love WILL AM and FM.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
And thanks for calling and letting us know.
Sure. Bye-bye.
And I also want to say, because she did mention that she listens to several radio stations, that's great. It's good to have a variety in your diet and to get the different viewpoints. We're very fortunate in this community to have, in addition to the public radio service that we're able to offer on AM and FM, a couple of community radio stations and some good commercial radio stations and other non-commercial stations. You know, it's a great radio market. And sometimes I think that that we might take for granted what we have here for a community of this size. And I think that's reflective of the population, of the people who are in this community, interested, bright people, engaged, and it just all makes it a great place to be. And so just wanted to say that. And it's okay if your dial goes off WILL once in a while, as long as it comes back. Let's go to line two in Champaign as well. Hi.
Hi. I listen to other public radio stations, and as well as yours. And there's a couple of programs that I hear regularly on other places that you don't seem to cover, but are national programs. And I'm wondering why you don't have them. One is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's usually on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
It is very entertaining. It's a news, a kind of a news quiz that they have a lot of fun with.
It's a great show.
And another one is Fresh Air, which you used to have, and for some reason, I don't know, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is Talk of the Nation, which is a couple of hours in the early afternoon. That's a very informative program where they interview persons and invite phone calls from people across the country about current events. But I'm particularly curious about Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Sure. That's a show that's always under consideration. NPR distributes these programs, and when I say distributes, that there's a distinction. NPR is a network that programs all day. You can basically turn on NPR or BBC and some other services, and you can get programs all day. And a lot of stations do that. We don't. This radio station was here for 50 years before NPR came along and had established its roots in local service programming. And then NPR programming has been added into the format over the past 30 years or so almost 40 years now that NPR programming has become available since the early 70s, basically. So how much of it and when we put it on is a determination that we have to make, and it's always under consideration. We have a finite amount of airtime, and on our AM station here, it's dictated primarily where, you know, sunrise to sunset before we go to 100 watts, and most listeners can't hear us. So with a finite amount of airspace, what do we do when? And I'll answer directly. Wait, Wait is under heavy consideration at all times. It would require us restructuring Saturday mornings. And given that we have this finite amount of real estate, where do we move? It airs when Rick Steves Travel is on right now. So
yeah, I'll bet you get more people interested in that than they would be in the travel show.
The travel show is one of our top five most listened to programs on this radio station. So I have no doubt that Wait, Wait would be one of the top two or three. But, you know, where do you put Rick Steves then? Well, so you think, okay, well, I'll just move Rick Steves to 11 o'clock, which would work. The program Sound Treatment that's on at 11 isn't going to be on anymore after this month, as a matter of fact. We'll have to replace it with something for a half hour. But then what do you do with Commodity Week, which is running the 11:30 time slot for a long time? And so, you see, what I'm telling you is that there are, you know, it's like a little puzzle. You have to move this stuff around. There's always a consequence. And, yeah, we put on this great program, but what do you do with the listeners to the program that was already there? Then you have to consider the cost of these programs. These are extremely expensive, and that's why Fresh Air isn't on the air anymore, because it's a very expensive program to do. Talk of the Nation is expensive. Wait, Wait is expensive, and so we have to be able to afford them. We could no longer afford Fresh Air. And so you have to take into consideration, and I don't want to, you know, get into the way too much information point here, but when we made the decision on Fresh Air a couple of years ago, it was based on the fact that it's very expensive and it was not generating enough audience as compared to our average listenership. In other words, it wasn't, you know, sitting there going, oh, you know, it's one of those things that the image is, it's a great show. It's a great show. And I think we should have it, because it does offer something that we don't offer, you know, the rest of the day in our own talk shows like this one or Afternoon Magazine. But at the same time, it was an underperformer. And at that time, we had to save X amount of money or we would have had to lay somebody off. That's what it came down to. And to preserve the local programming that we do that makes us what we are, that's the decision that had to be made at that time. Can it be revisited? Are conditions improving? Is the situation different? Yeah, so we can start talking about this again. I'm glad you brought it up. Talk of the Nation is, and I'll address that quickly, that runs when the Afternoon Magazine is on. Afternoon Magazine is part of that core programming that we have that's locally produced. Do I wish that we had enough channels that we could bring you all of this valuable programming? Yeah. But, you know, the Focus and the Afternoon Magazine are doing very well for us, so we see no reason to really change them. Talk of the Nation, Fresh Air, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, other network programs like that, it's all under discussion because, as you point out, there are public radio stations that's how they program. They don't do a Focus and AFMEG. Their roots aren't as local. But I'll tell you that the nationwide discussion is, as technology evolves, stations that do that and are dependent upon streaming the network programming, we're finding they're going to have to be more locally relevant. They're going to have to do more local programming. So WILL, in that sense, is kind of ahead of the curve. And others will be evolving toward this format because technology will allow you to get those network programs another way. You're not going to have to listen to the radio. Already, many of them are available via satellite radio or online. But at the same time, I mean, you can realize the dilemma that we're in. We're already here with the local programming. Others are moving toward this model. What do you do about those great network programs? Digital radio may provide part of the answer to that, because there will be multiple program streams with digital radio, so perhaps we will have a channel that we can expand our national offerings. So,
well, it just seems, just with these programs, mm-hmm. I right now I'm working out in Iowa,
yeah,
and I'm home here a few days a week, but out there switch off between about four different public radio.
Yeah, in Iowa they have a lot.
And these are smaller stations than yours, I would guess, except maybe the one in Iowa City.
Right.
But they all manage to have it. I don't.
Right. Well, they put their money into that instead of a local staff. You know, we have a big local staff. We do weather, we do agriculture, we do news, we do talk shows locally, et cetera, and that's you know, basically how we've done it. We've added, as I say, we've added the NPR programming in. It's kind of like we were here first. A lot of other stations grew up with NPR. They're more recent or They adopted the NPR format as opposed to trying to do a local, more locally based format. And
well,
that's not to say one is
more
correct than the other,
in
but
the national, in the national programs than we are locally.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I personally could care less about the farm reports.
Uh huh. But a lot of people could.
Yes,
and,
I know you have to balance.
You know, we got that finite, you know, airspace here that we're working with. But, you know, you bring up very good points. I just want to say, wait, don't tell me. In fresh air, two out of the three are under heavy consideration right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if one or the other appeared within the next year. You know, we have some financial hurdles still to clear. Things are getting better. It all depends on support, too. And sustainability from a financial standpoint is very important. So, you know, we have to take a it's a complex consideration, but I understand. I know the programs. I don't personally feel Talk of the Nation is as strong as what we're already doing, but you can disagree with that. So,
sure. Okay.
If you want to.
Thanks.
So, appreciate the input. And, you know, that's what it's about. We're doing the Talk to the Manager on Focus 580 today, 333-9455 locally, 800-222-9455. I'm Jay Pierce, and I hold two hats here. I'm Program Director of WILL AM 580, but I'm also Station Manager. I'm my own boss of WILL AM and FM, and basically responsible for pretty much for what you hear on WILL AM, and I have... I guess I'm the final gatekeeper of what you hear on WILL-FM, although I'm not the program director of that station. Jake Schumacher is. And I don't micromanage, you know, what he's doing there. But I love input. We talk about things all the time. So if you have something to say about our FM service, that'd be great, too. Boy, the lines are jammed. Let's go to line three, and I think this call's from Flossmoor. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, just fine. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you very well, but
great.
You keep saying I can't hear me.
Yeah, well, go right ahead. We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, my question is, it sort of broke my heart when you took Garrison Keillor off Sunday afternoon on AM because I can't get the FM, obviously, up here. And it is in on WBEZ, same time, 5 to 7, but that's not a good time for me on Saturday. So I just wondered why you took it off the AM, and I wish you'd put it back.
Money.
Yeah, but you have it on the FM.
I know, but we had to...
Why don't you just have it on the AM?
Because we'd have to pay for it on the AM, too.
But, I mean, you don't need to have it on the FM again. Everybody that can hear the FM down there can hear the AM also.
No, that's not true.
Well, that's what I called to ask.
Yeah, that's not the case. I'll explain it for you. Here's the deal. The AM and FM stations are considered two different stations by the program distributors. And in this case, we're talking about a company called American Public Media. So in order for us to be able to do the program now, we bought the program for the FM station, which gets the first run, and we were getting the rerun on the AM for free. But that was while it was distributed by Public Radio International. Now, it went over to a company called American Public Media, and for the AM station to have the right to rebroadcast it, we would have to pay an additional affiliation fee in addition to the one we already pay for the FM, because the FM runs more programs from American Public Media. The AM would just be running that one, and so it would make it incredibly expensive. So
I understand that.
Yeah, that was the reason we did it. And I do understand what you're saying. You know, you can hear it on WBEZ. I don't know if they do a rerun of it on Sunday or not. They don't. Okay.
They don't do a rerun, and that was sort of my Sunday afternoon entertainment. So I just wondered about it. I did have it on the FM. I thought, well, why not? Why did you do that? Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. And the AM covers a wider area, north, south, and east, than the FM does. But the FM goes to the west all the way to Springfield, and the AM doesn't even reach Decatur, Illinois. Because we're what you call a directional station. We're not allowed to broadcast to the west because a station in Topeka, Kansas has protected area over there.
For heaven's
so,
sake.
Yeah, I know.
Most unfair.
Well,
anyway, I'm glad to know why. And,
well, I hope that answers it. I know it doesn't remedy it, but you know what? If you do you have email, internet access, and that kind of stuff?
I have an internet. I have a computer, but I don't have email.
All right. Well, maybe you can give me a telephone call. You know,
I've
maybe
got the regular number.
Later this afternoon or something, leave me a message. I'll get back to you. You may have another option in Flossmoor. I don't know. I'd have to research it. Can you hear the stations out of DeKalb from Northern Illinois University?
Well, that's 90.92, isn't it?
No, that one's from College of DuPage. There should be one. I don't know if the DeKalb station reaches you or not, WNIU and WNIJ. But I'll look and see where their signal gets, and maybe they and I'll look at their schedule, and you know maybe there's another option for you, maybe there's not, but I'd be glad to work with you on it.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
You know, we'd love to be able to, gosh, you know, have this money thing go away, but you know, it's a reality that you know we do have financial costs that we have to bear, and we don't have an unlimited tap there, but. All right, let's go to line 4 in Kankakee. Hi, you're on the air.
Kankakee calling.
Hi.
This is the same caller whom the station manager may or may not recall has for some time now been expressing a particular interest in the 3 o'clock p.m. hour on
yes.
a.m.
Mm-hmm.
At first, your caller was of the view that local production could be more useful than Odyssey. When Odyssey was about to go out of production, your caller thought that local production would be superior to broadcasting world at 3 p.m. After all, world is also broadcast at 7 p.m. Your caller suggested a daily public square at 3 p.m., which suggestion did not find resonance, as with WIL not finding full participation in its then current much briefer public square. WIL doubted that it expanding to an hour a day times 5 would find full participation. Nonetheless, your caller must suggest again and again that a local production in the 3 o'clock p.m. hour is needed. Mediated communication, offering the many voices of the university community the opportunity to tell the university community what the university community is reading, seeing, thinking, saying, and doing is what this caller wants. This caller would be pleased to work on this. For those who need network production, perhaps short network segments could be dropped in to local productions. But may we not have local production daily from 3 o'clock p.m. to 4 p.m.? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, we always think about that 3 o'clock hour. It's not been easy since Fresh Air has not been in it. Again, I will say Fresh Air did not draw a significantly larger, well, it wasn't even a larger audience than the rest of the day. And for a show of its expense and its national stature, we would have hoped it would have done better. We tried to promote it well. We didn't get a lot of fundraising response during the program, which doesn't necessarily mean that people didn't support it. It's just they didn't call during it, and there may be a number of reasons for that. But that's a part of the pie and part of the discussion. So what do you do with the 3 o'clock time? Can we do another hour local show? Well, I'll tell you, it'll require a host and a producer. So we're looking at a minimum, probably, with salary and benefits to do something like that. A technical director and, you know, what it takes to produce a local program that's going to be engaging and engaging enough to a significant enough number of people to make it sustainable. That's going to cost us, I don't know, $75,000? That's a pretty big undertaking. The world costs us less than $10,000 right now, which is about half what Fresh Air cost us. But, you know, is the world permanently there? I don't know. We're always looking at options. I just sometimes have to go back to, you know, I started in public radio in the 1970s, very, very early on, when public radio was gelling and coming along. And back then, there was this faucet that was called funding from universities that held the licenses from the federal government, and it flowed very freely. And it continued to flow into the early 1980s, and all of a sudden, you know, it started drying up relatively. And, you know, there are a lot of forces out there that say we shouldn't be getting any federal funding anyway. Just make it on your own if you're viable. Anyway, the mix of that funding that we had from the government versus what we need to raise locally has changed. And it's not going back, in my opinion. And is it a good thing? Well, you know, we can go back and forth. Is it a good thing or not? It does require us to think differently about how we program the stations, and some may not think that's so great. Some accuse us of dumbing down and pandering to a lower common denominator to attract a bigger audience, and I don't think we've done that. But at the same time, we do have to worry about how esoteric we get. Back in the day when the money was just flowing out of that tap, we didn't really have to worry if anybody was listening. We could go on principles. We could be purely mission-driven. We are still highly mission-driven, but we do have to worry about, is anybody listening? How many are listening? And, you know, part of that equation to me is, are we investing the money that you, through either through taxes or through direct contributions to us, or that the companies who underwrite us, give us underwriting grants, or are giving to us, are we investing that wisely? Are we getting the maximum return for it? And it's not completely about numbers, how many are listening, et cetera, the rate of return we get, but that has to be part of the equation in this day and age. And so it is. And, you know, it's not a matter of is it anyone's cup of tea. It's, you know, how many are going to drink the tea if we put the program on the air. We do have to think about that. It's not, again, and I just want to say it's not totally driven by that, but that does have to be a consideration. So I think we need to go to line one again, and this would be somebody in Champaign. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Actually, I have just a few small points here. Mm-hmm. But you did raise the thing about public broadcasting. But I remember when I was working for a PhD in this area, that it used to be for public broadcasting, it was, you know, the philosophy, as long as you reached 1 or 1%, you know, in other words, as a public service. So that's not being critical. I mean, that's just...
That was fun back then.
Yeah.
It was, you could do whatever you wanted. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it could be, you know, the marketplace of ideas, and it still is,
right,
but not to the extent that you could do it. Or you could be more experimental then. But,
right.
So this is the realities. Just a compliment, certainly, in terms of local programming, Focus 580, Afternoon Magazine, and certainly Media Matters. Just great programming. I think it's a marvelous contribution. People are prepared, you know, for the subject in terms of doing the interviewing. So just I moved down here about 5 years ago, so out of the Chicago area.
Thank you.
The world, I like that. I think that it's we ought to have more of that, you know, rather than our, you know, trying to expand. I think they're doing, the program does a good job. So is that doing well or fair or?
It hasn't been on long enough to go through enough ratings periods, going back to the first caller, the Arbitron, for us to really know. I mean, it's not doing horribly in its first couple of ratings periods, but usually we like to have it, you know, go through three or four. So it takes a couple of years for you to really tell. But it's not doing any worse than anything. It's not doing any better than anything that's been in that time slot. We've had good reaction to it. We've had some negative reaction to it. I will tell you, it will probably remain somewhere. Whether it will run both times, 3 and 7 o'clock, is not determined at this point. I guess the 7 o'clock, you know, replay of it is, sometimes we do that with very expensive programs, like Car Talk runs twice, because you do get two audiences for it then.
Now, do you pay? What happens there when you run it the second time? Do you pay?
You don't pay any extra for it, so it helps to defray the cost.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
If you spread it out over more people, so it'll stay at one of those. I think the program. I think we're pretty committed to that. It seems to be.
The other one I think is a creative show. Is the World of Possibilities? Is that what that thing's called?
Yeah, Wednesday nights.
Yeah, very creative.
Ah, good.
And then finally, did the nation just go out of business in terms of broadcasting?
You know, that's a very interesting thing that happened there, and I'll tell you what happened. Yes, they did, and then we had to make arrangements to cover, you know, that time slot, so I made the commitment to World of Possibilities, and then the nation came back.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to hear the nation came back.
I think, doesn't WEFT still run it at some time or not? It came back too late for me to, you know, go back. I'd already made the arrangements and the commitments, and so it's a matter of, like, looking at our schedule and going, oh, gosh, you know, let's Laura Flanders is doing it now, and I'm like, you know, I'd like to put that back, but where do I put it now?
The other one is that, in general, I'd like to see our nation come back, but that's another issue. But you're doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and welcome to the area. I moved down here from Chicago 11 years ago, 12 years ago almost. And I found it a great place to be, so I stayed. Let's go to line two, and you are on the air, and I believe you're from Urbana?
Yes. My opinion on some of your programming, I think there's overkill when there's a weather problem. They interrupt the programs every 5 to 7 minutes. I think they could interrupt, say, every 12 or 15 minutes, and it wouldn't be so redundant and so interruptive. Few programs I'd like to see axed, eliminated. One, Says You. I don't care about that program, but possibly someone does. I don't know. I certainly don't. Michael Silverblatt on Thursday night. I think each Thursday night. I don't care for that program either. Tavis Smiley. Now, you know, certainly your station is all stations that have a voice for ethnic minorities. If you could get a gentleman that is of the African-American race, who's very intelligent, who writes a column for the Miami Herald, and it appears in the News Gazette once or twice a week. His name is Leonard Pitts.
Leonard Pitts, yeah, I knew.
And he's a very intelligent gentleman, irregardless of race, and I'd much rather see him in that slot than Tavis Smiley. But those are my opinions, so okay. I'm glad I got a chance to voice them. Thank you.
Well, thank you much for the call. I'm glad you did choose to call in and voice them. Says You has a good audience. So that's pretty much there. The Michael Silverblatt Show Thursday night is Bookworm. Is that right? I'll frankly say that it's tough to put a lot of resources into dealing with those nighttime programs like that when we're at 100 watts, because the audience level and the potential is so low. I don't want to say that we're not paying attention or wanting to pay attention to you, but, you know, when you prioritize how the whole thing goes, it's tough, you know, to spend as much time working on that as you might do other things. And so, I'll think about that. Is that the right program to have there? Perhaps when we get a digital signal, as I've mentioned, and we get better coverage with our talk programming on a digital channel at night, well, that becomes more of a concern. Tavis, Leonard doesn't do a show. Tavis does. Tavis does have a kind of controversial style. The show's got listenership, obviously, but I do appreciate the feedback, and, you know, that goes into the Tavis folder, and every time we come up with our annual commitments to programs and review them, comments of listeners, either on this program or another venue, our listener comment line, or emails I get, all goes into the mix, so it's valuable information to have. It's better than me throwing darts, tell you that much. This is Focus 580, and I'm Jay Pierce, the station manager at WILL Radio, AM and FM, and the program director of WILL AM 580. Our lines are still jammed, so I won't even give out the phone numbers, because we'll try to get the four calls we have right now in, and then see if we have any others at that time. But we're doing a Talk to the Manager program. It's your microphone right now, and let's go to caller on line number 3 in Champaign. Hello. Are you with us, line 3, Champaign?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go
okay.
ahead. It's you.
Monday through Friday, you're perfect. Saturday and Sunday, I go to other stations. That's my opinion. Thank you.
Okay. Are you still with us? It's wrapped up. Okay. Well, all right. I can see the programming is different on the weekends. I'd like to get a little more input on, you know, what is it about the weekends or what we're doing during the week that we might try to do on the weekends that that would be better. That's an interesting situation because for a long time there was always this theory that, well, you know, we're so serious all week, people like to kick back on the weekends. But there's also a programming philosophy that says when people turn the radio on any time, they should be hearing what they expect to hear. And it shouldn't be very radically different. So you try to pick programs that may not be as intensively news and talk and issue-oriented, but that people would have an affinity for. And sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. And also I go back to, we talk about listenership and finances and the like, and some of those weekend programs have a lot more listeners than some of these weekday programs do. And so I just throw that out because that's, you know, that's the mix we deal with. And let's go to line four, and you are on the air from Belgium. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, sir. probably the reason most of the people are listening right now to the station is because we all enjoy Mr. Inge a very great deal, as even the people who are being interviewed by him mentioned that he's so knowledgeable and so well-read on this stuff. He's just great, and he's a nice person to listen to and enjoy. And I have a question, though. It seems, though, and if this is too personal, please don't answer it. I've noticed that Mr. Inge seems to be away a lot anymore. I hope there's nothing serious and any sort of problem.
Nope.
Maybe he's just getting a lot of vacation time in, which would be better, great for him.
Yeah, that's all there is to it.
Okay.
We get the university employee. We're all University of Illinois employees, and so we get an incredible and insane, some may say ridiculous, some may say undeserved amount of vacation time. But we get a lot of vacation time. We don't always all use all of our vacation time. But David's job and Celeste's job, you know, how many of us read 5 or 10 books a week?
Yeah.
And they're prepared to do intelligent interviews at the level that they carry out with the kind of guests or all the research that they have to go through. So I urge them to take vacation time when they can. And this is their annual retreat time. They both take the time off right now to kind of recharge their batteries so that they can come back and, you know, be there for you. But they have taken some other time off, too, and that's good. Once in a while, we need to refresh. And I know, you know, we do our best to fill in when they're not here, but boy, it is tough.
It's a big shoes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you much for that. And I will let David know you said that. We're very fortunate to have the caliber of talent that we do across the board here on WILL in our community. I'll tell you, you know, this isn't the only place I've worked, but I can't say that I've encountered. This is the 215th radio market. There are 214 bigger than us. And when you come to an area like this, you know, you have a certain level that we have attained that a lot of bigger markets that have a lot more money accessible and bigger stations, et cetera, have not attained. And I think that is basically due to two things. One is you, our listeners and supporters, the intelligence and interest level that you have and the engagement that you have and the interface with us that you have and the financial support that you provide us have allowed us to do some incredible things. And it's also the talent. It runs all the way, you know, through our station from the David Inge to Dan Simeone in the morning to our new staff to our technical directors who so ably help us to provide content that, and you know, there are a lot of delivery platforms. We have a lot of discussions around here. What are we going to do about the internet? What are we going to do about podcasting? What are we going to do about this or that? And, you know, and Jack Brighton has done an incredible job with our online service, and we're trying to be there. And Dave Dickey with how the agriculture audiences are served, Ed Kieser and Mike Sola and those in the weather office. But, you know, the point of it all is we are committed to content. There are always things, and, you know, this is, I guess, my job to sit in my office and go, how do we best deliver all of this content, and how do we maintain the level of content? And, you know, so we do our best. We're fortunate to have some extremely talented and able people to help us do that all the way across the board. Our next caller is from Urbana on line one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm very glad to be able to speak with you. I'll try to be brief, but I have several comments. First of all, I've been listening to National Public Radio since it began, so you get an idea of my age. But and I also have a very high level of formal education, yet I was thinking, I reflected on my experiences one day, and I realized that I think that public radio and public television have contributed more to make me a thinker and curious and want to know more than anything else in my life. And, I'm hooked. But it really does. It broadens, you know, things come on that you just never would have even thought about that are important. And it's just really been a large part of my life and my family's life. That's the first thing. The second thing has to do with the programming. First of all, when you're going to think about getting new programs, is there a way you can pilot them for a certain amount of time and get some, you know, listener feedback before you actually pay for them? The third thing is, I don't think that we should repeat programs, especially the ones that are expensive, like, you know, Car Talk, or even getting, you know, Morning Edition twice and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the third thing. The fourth thing I'd like to suggest is that as programming becomes expensive, is there a possibility that you could use more local expertise? You do serve the agriculture community, and even that is interesting sometimes. But, you know, there are other communities that would greatly, that you could serve, like the families. Like a talk show related to families and issues of raising children and things like that, or science. You know, we're sitting on the some of the, you know, we have eight working Nobel Prize winners.
Mm-hmm.
Should be an opportunity to tap the expertise that is right here for some of the programs. You know, that would probably wind up being cheaper than some of the syndicated ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Says You is a very good word program, and you have what, book night? Do you have any programming for children, just specifically for children, such as a program that used to be at WSSR when it was WSSR,
mm-hmm.
Jackie Jackson, who used to do a program for and with children on reading and books and so on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good stuff.
Those are some of my ideas, but I do think that you ought to continue what you're doing, and it's just a pleasure to be able to speak with you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for calling and sharing that. I'll address as much as I can get to. Tapping the local expertise. Locally produced programming is the most expensive kind there is to do. It is incredibly expensive to do this, because it's to produce a program that is relevant and is engaging and is useful to listeners takes a lot of coordination, a lot of research, a lot of preparation. And while it may sound natural on the air, there's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes to make sure that it is like that. However, having said that, that is the way that we have committed to go. And I think a lot of these things are, you know, scheduled, maybe not on a weekly basis, but we do get to a lot of these topics and people on the forums that we have, Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, Keeping the Faith, or Media Matters on Sunday. But that doesn't mean that we're getting to all these areas. And there is, as Mark Leonard, our relatively new general manager, said when he came here, an amazing amount of talent and expertise in this university community and in the community as a whole that we have not tapped or mined or taken full advantage of. And we are, as part of our strategic plan, coming up with ways to do that. And so I note that, and thank you very much, and that's there. Children's programming is a hard thing. We have had some. There isn't currently a lot available. Getting children to listen to the radio is a great notion. Putting it into practice sometimes is another story. But then again, it's if there's nothing there, how do you, you know, what is there to get them to sit down and listen to? I don't know if that's a radio thing. Maybe that's an internet thing. Maybe the radio's not the, maybe the internet's a good thing. Maybe we should be doing something, you know, along those lines. We tend to focus our children's programming on our television station, but that's always good food for thought. Because it is obviously a big part of our mission to serve a number of needs in the community. You know, I got that written down here. What are we doing for kids? Another important part of the community that would also have parents, you know, maybe that's an important thing to have parents and kids spending that time together. It's always something that seems to, you know, be a topic. How do you get the two together? And what could we foster along those lines? So, all right, I got that down. A Prairie Home Companion runs, if our listener way back from Flossmoor is listening, on WNIJ, which is 89.5 FM, and I know they get into the western Chicago suburbs. 89.5 FM at 10 o'clock on Sunday is the replay. So you might try that and see if you can hear their station. And we'll go to line two, another caller from Urbana. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if sometime David or Celeste might invite Aaron Freeman from Chicago, who does these little short commentaries on NPR. Mm-hmm. To interview him. He seems like a really interesting person. And I really appreciate being able to go back and not only with... I went looking for one of his commentaries. It was about taking water aerobics class with women in their 70s and having a hard time keeping up with them. And I wanted to listen to it again. And I discovered a whole bunch that I hadn't heard before. I really appreciate that you have that resource, and it has to be costing money that you weren't spending years ago to be able to archive that stuff.
Doesn't it? Well, it does, because it took Jack Brighton out of his producer's role here, and you know he's in another division, but he still comes back and helps us here on the on-air part. But it's really him. I mean, it's him and a few computers that he's salvaged out of university surplus and, you know, other things. He's been able to wrangle a few dollars here and there, but he goes out and, you know, makes some money by archiving stuff for other people on campus. And what an entrepreneur he's been. And he's got, you know, volunteers and others of us on staff that take care of our own pages. And, man, he's, you know, it's all just kind of come together without being another huge budget, although, boy, he'd sure like it if we fully funded it, and we're having to move toward that because, you know, we have as many people listening to us online and listening to things online as we do on the air now.
I don't get often listen on Saturday because I'm doing other things. If mm-hmm. I listened on the weekends the way I listened during the week, I wouldn't get anything done. I can't focus. It's good to have a break, and I really like, now and then I catch Midnight Special. With our local person, Rich Warren,
which introduces
me periodically to things I haven't heard when I get a chance to listen to it. And I appreciate having things that I don't listen to all the time, but that I might catch now and then. It's interesting hearing Tavis Smiley, and I liked Fresh Air but when it was on, but you had a lot of people call and complain about it. So
yeah, we did.
Anyway, thanks a bunch.
Thank you much. Appreciate it, and I'm glad you do take some personal time. You can usually come back and, you know, in our archives too, and that's a good point at WILL.UIUC.edu and catch up on things. It's kind of, you know, we're all having to respond to this. It's you got TiVos and DVRs and things, and people get used to watching TV shows when they want to. We're having to adapt and provide so that you can use the radio more on your schedule and not by the one that we think is the best for you. Let's try to sneak in these last two calls quickly. We have a line three from Urbana. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Hi.
I just had a quick comment to make. I like most of your programs,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like how Celeste's voice sounds. It just sounds funny to me. And I like what she has to say, but sometimes I just can't even you know, hear her on the radio. I just have to turn it down because her voice just, it sounds, you know, kind of funny. So that was just a quick comment I had to make.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. You're what you're hearing, and we'll kind of, you know, is the volume enough, or what is it about that? Well, maybe it's the frequency. I don't know. We'll talk about that, and, you know, we pass along all of these and talk about them. And let's go to line four from down in Robinson, Illinois, and get you on the air, and that's probably how we'll wrap up the calls here. So go ahead, please.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just fine. Thanks.
I'd like to register a very trivial reprimand for one of your announcers. I take it to be who speaks in a plug between shows about something about the Mahomet Aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
That man pronounces the word Illinois as Illinois, which I find very disturbing and something that should be squashed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have an ally here.
Okay, good.
It's Illinois and it's milk, right?
Yes, right.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. And I have discussions with people about that all the time. I is, yeah. But I understand that natives and some others, you know, you get that E sound, that Illinois thing going. But, yeah, we'll bring that up. Yeah, so there you go. It's not just me, folks. Thank you very much for the calls and the great input. We did have a call off the air that would appreciate maybe the FM program director doing some of these. I don't know if they wanted to hear, you know, that on the AM station or on the FM. It would be a lot of format for the FM. And we only share like a quarter of our audience between the two. You know, I know that a lot of our hardcore listeners, those of you who listen to us all the time and don't miss a thing, some, you know, and use both of our stations, but that's not the majority. But we, you know, we love it that you can go back and forth and have the opportunity to hear music on the FM and news and talk for the most part on the AM. But anyway, so I do appreciate the calls. And if you go to our website, will.uiuc.edu, you can contact us and feel free to do that. I'm Jay Pierce, Program Director of AM 580, Station Manager at WILL Radio. Appreciate the input on Focus 580 today.